Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we're doing something a little different here. We're doing our top five favorite episodes of Star Wars Visions, which that does include spoilers for season one and two. So if you haven't seen it, what are you doing? But also, like, I don't know. Spoilers aren't that big of a deal, I guess, because they're like 15 minutes short. So maybe you haven't seen it and you're listening to this to figure out which ones to listen to. So something to consider. We do have some wonderful guests today. I'm very excited to have these guys on. It's two gentlemen from the Wise Sidious podcast. And I got to say, you know, being Stark Wars, I love the puns wherever I can get it in. And this might be the one podcast that tops ours as far as the titling. Love the name, but so happy to invite on David and Caleb. How's it going, guys?
Hey, it's going good. Happy to be here. Excited. Appreciate the compliment right off the bat. We got to give credit to our co-host Jeremy's wife and him. They kind of co-opted it, I think, and he threw that in and we voted it in. But yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I also did not come up with our name. I asked a friend for recommendations. I was like, that's not anything I came up with.
I like it.
Shout out Nathan. But guys, here we are. We're talking about Star Wars Visions. I'm going to throw it to Caleb first. Caleb, I have a question for you. My question is, because season two tended to be like, I watched season two and then we were going to do this podcast. So I went back and watched some of the season one stuff and like, not only was like, I just remind how great that season is, but also it's very different, right? We got a lot of different perspectives in season two coming from different studios across the world. So Caleb, how do you feel like season two held up against season one?
Well, first of all, I feel like the animation styles were a lot more different than the first season coming from across the across the world instead of just one country. And I definitely felt like season one had a few really good episodes and then a few duds, you know, a couple that I don't really want to go back and rewatch again. But when it comes to season two, there's a lot, it's more consistent. I feel like, you know, 3/4 of the season are pretty solid episodes that I do want to go back and rewatch right away. And there's a couple that I absolutely loved.
Yeah. David, what about you? Season two, because I think that's what was interesting. Like in my top five, I definitely wanted like a balance, but not to spoil anything, I definitely lean towards one season more.
Okay. I think I'm going with season one. Season two, it had a few really good ones, but I think just, man, it's tough. It's really tough, but I'm going to go with season one just because, more of my favorites are in that one. But like Caleb said, the artwork is so much more diverse, it felt like. And I feel like it was more balanced for season two, but there were more highs in season one for me. But it was still a great season of more Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. It felt like, you know, I guess this comes with, you know, opening the Star Wars universe to the whole world. But it seemed like we got more personal stories with season two. As far as like entrenching ourselves into different cultures and different messages. Like I felt like, you know, Spite Answer, for example, End of the Stars, these are like things that were very connected to like historical events. So yeah, I don't know. I thought that was interesting too. Like, I feel like season two meant more while season one might've been like cooler Star Wars stuff.
Right.
So yeah, totally agree.
I almost felt like season two was more connected. There was a lot more of the Empire or Inquisitors in it. And season one was more kind of multiversal aspects where it was way out there.
You know what I found interesting after, you know, just revisiting season one, I realized that both the first episodes have to do with a leading Sith character, which is interesting with right. The duel. And it was a fun parallel I found. But
yeah.
Well, if you guys are down, we could go ahead and get into it. And I wanted to start out with some honorable mentions. And these are ones that I just wanted to talk about because they didn't make my list, but it's very hard to come up with the five. do one of you guys want to start with an honorable mention?
I'll throw one out there. Okay. So it didn't make my top five list. Obviously, it's an honorable mention, but I had to shout it out because it was just so unique and it was kind of the first Star Wars horror vibe we got. And that was season two, Screecher's Reach. And it just, again, it just, it had a totally different tone than any Star Wars project I've been familiar with. I did not expect it. It was legitimately creepy. I mean, we kind of had that jump scare with the Sith spirit there, and it was just very creative, unique, and I just feel like it deserved a shout out. It didn't crack the top five, but it was pretty cool.
I actually have that in my OLI as well, outside looking in. I didn't love the animation, but the witch was terrifying. And then you come to find out she pulls out a lightsaber. I was like, okay, I did not expect that, but all right. And then the little girl kills her with it and takes it. And then, you know, the Sith shows up, and that's who the person she's been talking through this medallion the whole time. And she just kind of leaves her family and dips off with this Sith. And I was kind of waiting for her to be like, okay, you have to kill them. This is your first test. You need to kill. And I was like, oh, you know, because that's something they would do. But it's a kid show. It's directed for kids, so it's fine. Yeah. But yeah, the dark side is seductive, and she had to go with her.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of kicking myself because I love Scrooge's Reach, but it didn't make my top five, and it didn't make my honorable mentions, which is like, right. It's more of a testament to the show where, like, I love all of these things. I think for me, Scrooge's Reach was like much more of like a tonal idea than a story for me, right? I think it worked as like a horror thing, but like I needed a little bit more substance, I guess. I feel like maybe the interesting stuff would have happened right after this episode, or like maybe it needed like a whole season, as we've talked about with some of the other stuff. So
yeah,
I'll throw another one out there. This is one from season one that, like, when I first watched it, I kind of hated it because it was doing a lot of weird stuff. But then I watched it a second time and I was like, okay, this is like kind of interesting. And then on the third time, I'm like, this is just awesome. I'm talking about The Twins, which is basically like a Star Wars What If Luke and Leia story. But it's so weird. Like, he's standing on an X-Wing in space and he cuts a Star Destroyer in half with a lightsaber. It's like so outlandish, but like in that respect, I kind of have to respect it.
It's very over the top with the force powers.
Yeah. It's very anime.
Yes.
Very, very strong anime. I'm not like super well versed in the anime. Seen stuff here and there, but haven't seen Attack on Titan or anything like that. So those big fans out there, I'm sorry. Haven't reached out to that yet, but it's entertaining. It's colorful. It's got a, you know, kind of a energetic vibe to it. And the story is interesting at least, but yeah, it didn't make my top five or honorable just because, yeah, a little over the top, but it's still fun watch.
Okay, I got one more honorable mention, and it's The Pit. I really like The Pit, and I think one thing people will notice when they're looking at my top five is I prefer like a lot of these really darker stories, and this one was very dark. I always just like when Star Wars goes there, and like I felt like it didn't hold back. It killed the main character. Like, it was super surprising, but also like touching, and I don't know, it just worked. I said it before, but it felt like an episode of Andor, and I loved Andor, so this is my shit for sure.
Yeah, it didn't have the Sith or Jedi. Like, you know, majority of the Vision stuff, it did have the same young main character with an older mentor type of main character, which was very prevalent in this season. But yeah, it went, man, when they, again, we got the spoilers out, but when he got thrown down into the pit, that caught me off guard a little bit. I was like, oh my God, they are not messing around. But it was very entertaining. And the art style was very familiar. I feel like I've watched a show that's exactly that art style, but yeah, it was good. I just actually watched that a couple days ago for the first time.
Yeah, I'll admit
I wasn't super interested in that episode. The first half didn't really get me, so like, you know, I kept watching, but I did like the you know, these people are mining kyber crystals. That was cool.
Okay, well, if you guys are down, we can go ahead and dive into the list. Does somebody, I'll let one of you guys, who wants to go first with number five?
You can go, Caleb.
All right, well, this could be higher on other people's list, but my number five is The Duel.
Ooh, okay.
Which is, of course, the first episode of the first season. You guys have that on your list?
It is on my list higher. I don't know if we want to wait to talk about it or we can talk about it now.
I'm good with that. I got it higher on my list too.
Okay. All right. We'll put a pin on that.
Okay. But
yes, I like that. The Duel. Glad it I made your all of our top fives. That's cool.
Right.
Okay, David, what about your top five?
So at number five, I've got the episode that I thought was going to be my favorite for season two. It still made it, but wasn't quite it. And that's the Sith, or Sith. I think it's just Sith. Episode one of season two.
Interesting. So the Sith is not on my list. Is it on yours, Caleb?
It is. It's right above this, so we can just go ahead.
Crack into it.
Yeah. Again, here's the thing. It's like I can like totally love this and like it somehow doesn't make my top five or honorable mentions. And I think again more of a testament to the great season two. I thought it was I was a little conflicted. I think the big thing was like I was really confused by the ending where like she kills the Sith Master and then he's like, well, now you're the Sith Master. I was like, was that the point? Like I was like, I feel like yeah. She was trying not to be a Sith.
Right. And it felt like she was rejecting it, but then didn't she say the word I'm a master now or something like right. that at the end of it? So it was a little confusing with that. But yeah, I got it up there. I really appreciated the art style that was going on. It was very artistic inside of very artistic, if that makes any sense. You know, Visions, all the Vision stories are always very artistic, different type of studios and everything. But you obviously had the Force art going on with this stuff. And it just, the story hooked me because she's a Sith apprentice, former Sith apprentice. And, you know, she's trying to obviously not be in that life anymore. But we saw this symbolism with the dark side of the Force and the light side of the Force. And it's something we often think of as exact opposites, you know, it's dark side and light side, or they're total opposites. But it's more similar. It's more symbiotic than that. The Force is. It works with both sides of the Force. And this was kind of a big demonstration of that. You know, she's doing her paintings and she's trying to get the dark spots out of it. And she can't, as much as she's trying to wipe away the dark paint and everything, the darkness spreads or it grows. It just keeps coming out. And that was obviously a big symbol of her path herself. And once she finally accepts and embraces that she wields both the light and the dark side, and she ignites that double-bladed lightsaber, which, to be honest, I wasn't crazy about the cutlass pirate lightsaber, but I like the symbolism in it. But she ignites that and fully embraces both sides of that, and obviously makes her stronger, and she's able to overcome her former master. So I really like the art and the symbolism in this episode.
Yeah, you know, and that's actually it's come up in a couple of the Visions episodes where like the point is you need the light with the dark. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that like even the Jedi in the prequels misunderstood. I mean, they were always looking for the chosen one, but the chosen one was supposed to bring balance with the light and right. the dark. And it's like Yoda says, I think the prophecy was misread. We kind of get a similar message in the Journey to the Dark Side. So I always love when that's acknowledged, because I feel like especially you look into Clone Wars and the Mortis arc, and like I feel like that is like a very important part of Star Wars, is like, you know, the dark is equally as important as a light. Caleb, why did you like the Sith as well?
Well, I do want to bring it back to the ending. So that is, you know, the rule of two. And it is his, you know, life's mission to get killed by the apprentice. So when he goes to the afterlife and all the other Sith are kind of talking to him, hey, you got killed by your apprentice who took over, right? And he's like, yeah, totally. Yeah, she's going to take over. She's the master now, you know, so that's what he had to do. But I did really love the animation, and I guess force painting was a thing in this episode, which was cool to see. She's kind of created her whole reality in a way with her force skills. And the hallway duel was amazing. So he has like the Kylo vibe of dragging it on the ground, and when it clashes, the sparks come off of it. And I love the animation in that scene. And they were almost like fighting over reality, because she would, you know, be winning for a second, things would go bright and, you know, into the place she created. And he's like, you did this all for this, and, you know, changes it back to the darkness. And so I like that aspect.
And it's got that duality aspect. Obviously, that's all I talked about, really. But we don't, I, that draws my interest. We don't have a lot of those characters in Star Wars lore. We don't have a lot of dark Jedi or people who are really split with that stuff. You know, obviously there's Revan, which he's still not canon yet, but he's a classic case of that. And you know, Ahsoka, Asajj a little bit, they kind of dip their toes in the other deal. Ahsoka, not necessarily, but you know, the whole not a Jedi, she's pretty close to a gray Jedi at this point. So those stories always interest me a little bit more. So yeah, that's why this one caught my attention.
Yeah, it's wild because, like, you mentioned the animation. It's, like, almost ground. Like, you don't see stuff like this all the time. It brings me back to, like, Into the Spider-Verse, where, like, it kind of, like, revolutionized. And, like, everybody wanted to capture that style again. And I feel like almost all of the episodes and visions, it's, like, this could, like, change animation if, like, people were looking at it more, you know? And I feel like the Sith is a good example of that. And the reason I bring that up is because, like, yes, the Sith is, like, absolutely incredible. But then I think, like, you know, we mentioned the duel. Like stuff like that. It's, like, completely, like, changing what people think about as far as animation goes. And, yeah, so definitely something to note. Okay, well, I can move on to my number 5. And this one I was kind of waffling. I was, like, I wasn't sure where it was going to fall. I wanted to see it represented because, like I just mentioned, as far as, like, revolutionizing animation, I felt like Ao's song did a great job of that. I felt like it almost had, like, a stop motion feel, and, like, it looked real. The characters were, like, textured, and, like, I wanted to hug these, like, little bears. And, you know, the story for me wasn't super strong, but, like, again, like, it just such a beautiful world they built out. I thought the Jedi in this episode was, like, really cool, and I wanted more of her. But I just riffing on Al's song. I should have asked if you guys have it on your list as well.
It's not on my list, but just the lengths they went to create this, you know, 15 to 20 minute short. You know, they created plush dolls for all the characters, and then added, you know, like, practical and CGI effects around it. And you could tell, like, you could see the little, like, fuzzes coming off the characters. So I really did like that aspect of it. And it was a vibrant story, you know, colorful. Yeah, I liked it.
Hey, don't you apologize for that. I love the passion. It came out the gates hot. I love it. it's great. It's great to see Star Wars do that in people, you know. Yeah. It's not on my list either, but I watched that one second to last. I ended up watching whatever I said a couple of days ago, but I was holding off on that one because I didn't think I was going to like it much. I actually, if I'm being honest, I waited on most of the claymation style ones, and I actually ended up enjoying both of them. But this one, like you said, it's not a crazy complex story, but there's emotion in it. You feel there's heart. The story has heart. And so I found myself invested way more than I expected to be when I started the episode. It was a solid end of the season. But yeah, there was emotion in it. And I love any story where you can feel, you know, you can feel yourself in it. You can feel their emotion. And the singing to the Kybers, I thought that was a beautiful touch too. So,
for sure. Okay, so number 4 is now, Caleb, what was your number 4?
Now, my number 4 was Sith.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Okay. Well, David, what about you?
My number 4 is very close to Sith with the duality. It's Journey to the Darkhead. So I don't know if either of you had that on there.
That is higher on my list.
Oh, interesting. I did not have it on my list.
Okay.
I don't know. This one just didn't totally click with me. We can talk about it more in depth later if for Caleb, but
it is, yeah, we should wait a little bit.
Oh, okay. I can tell where that's going. Yeah, hold on.
Okay. Okay, so my number 4 is The Spy Dancer.
Okay.
Did that fall on y'all's list?
It's not on my list, but I did enjoy it.
Cool.
Not on my list either, but I could tell it was the French one right when it started.
Yes.
Yeah. I really liked it though. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about it here for a minute because, and by the way, I love so far that I am not sharing anything on the list with you guys.
It's perfect. Yeah.
But yeah, Spy Dancer, you know, it's really hard to capture, like, a twist in, like, such a short amount of time. And I feel like this one worked really well for me. They kind of set up the fact that, you know, her son was taken from her. And, like, never once did it cross my mind that, like, you know, what that meant. And seeing how it played out and what her reaction was and, like, slowly figuring out with the son what the situation was, it just felt really powerful to me. where like she was willing to put herself obviously in danger to like reconnect with him in some way. And I don't know, I felt like a very touching, you know, I have a good relationship with my mother, and you know, I'm a mama's boy. So yeah, it worked for me.
Yeah. That was a good twist. I didn't actually see that part of it coming, and I thought that was a nice little surprise there. And again, yeah, it was another story that had heart, and the art was very unique. Again, like I said, I didn't check to see what country of origin any of these were before I watched it, and so I was kind of like trying to throw out guesses. But this one, yeah, I nailed it. But it was good.
I also really liked this episode too. It almost had like a Disney style look to it, like classic Disney animation. And you know, she's kind of running this undercover operation while putting on a show for all these stormtroopers. I like that too. And yeah. I did not see that coming, that was her son. And you know, he shaved off his horns, it looked like, and he obviously has that eye patch on to cover his multicolored eyes. He's trying to hide his true identity. He knows who he truly is. That's not his dad. That guy just kidnapped him as a baby,
right?
I kind of thought that the eye patch was there to mislead the audience, but the fact I never really considered that he chose to wear it for that reason, so that's interesting. I like that.
Right, because the horns too. When he showed the shaved off horns, I was like, hey, he's hiding.
He shaved him off. I saw he had hair. I thought he just let his hair grow over him or something. But
there
I couldn't
like
tell.
Two like circles on his forehead where like they used to be.
Or he it just was like... such a minor detail. Like you, mm-hmm. like to see where somebody would not notice that. I didn't notice it until the second time I watched it.
Right.
Okay. And that's the thing with visions. You know, they have such a small window in these stories that you got to use every centimeter of screen you got to convey every part of the story, the backstories and little, you know, details that you can help to use for context clues and stuff like that. But they do a really good job of including fine details like that. It makes it kind of fun to watch too. I got one question about that episode though. There were like a couple hundred stormtroopers in that auditorium, right? And then they started fighting and then they're like 10. I don't know. I was wondering where the entire fleet of stormtroopers went, but.
They might have run away because they were kind of treated like dumb in this episode. Like, there's a shot of them like when she first starts lashing out. It, like, you could see them start to realize like, oh, maybe we should do something about this. I can't remember what they said, but it was like they were kind of slow to react. So I don't know. I think they're like Trade Federation droids.
Fair.
Okay. So. Those were our number fours. Caleb, you want to talk about your number three?
Excuse me. I have the ninth Jedi from season one.
Ooh. I have this higher.
Okay.
I don't have it.
Oh, no.
But what? I know.
I thought this was going to be the one that everyone had.
But... I should have put this higher, but I had to put it down one. But, you know.
We can talk about it now if you want. I love the Ninth Jedi. I think, especially when it came out, I feel like it was a lot of people's favorites at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll just throw out the excuse real quick. I actually haven't rewatched that one. I hate to say it, and it's not.
Wow.
It's just one of those things that kind of slipped through the cracks. It's not like I remembered it and was like, "Well, I didn't like that one. I'm not going to rewatch it." I didn't rewatch that one right before season two. I know it's all the lightsabers, right? And I just can't remember the details down to a T, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fair. It didn't stand out. I will say this is another one that had a good twist for me that I really liked.
Yes.
Where they're kind of calling all the Jedi together to meet, and it turns out that all the Jedi there are actually Sith in disguise. And I thought this worked really well. The fight. I really liked the concept in this where the lightsabers would change colors.
Yes.
You know, it's very much like, I think this is more of like a Legends thing, but the young girl, she starts out with the lightsaber and it's clear. Like she has no connection to the Force, but then she starts using it and fighting the enemies and then it slowly turns green. Mm-hmm. And then even one of the Sith starts to help the Jedi and his turns purple. And I don't know, just seeing that throughout the battle, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that's like my dream job, to be a lightsaber blacksmith. And he says he tempers the crystals to reflect the user's connection to the Force, which is also a cool feature, which is obviously something they haven't mentioned at all. And I mean, Star Wars, you can't have that. But I thought, you know, like maybe two or three of them would be Sith. But when literally all six of them are, it's like that was the biggest oh shit moment from season one. And definitely the most I wanted a sequel, or just give me a full season after this. Like, I want more.
Well, they end with like the team kind of comes together at the end, yeah. Right? It's like the one Jedi, it's the daughter, it's the, I forget the
Margrave.
The Margrave, yep. And then the guy with the purple lightsaber, like they all kind of come together and they're mm-hmm. like, they're gonna go off and do more cool shit. And I'm like, right. I want to see the cool shit.
Yes. So.
I'm 100% watching that after we finish recording. I gotta go back now.
Got to. I think it might be the longest one. I don't know that for sure. I just know it was very long. It was almost half an hour, I think. So
yeah, and her dad's still alive, correct? They just took him prisoner. So
yeah.
I hope season three kind of brings sequel? Back some of the original stories from season one and two.
Yeah, I would love that. Okay. Anything else on the Nine Jedi? Where were we? Who's next? Were we at number three is Dave? To David?
Yes, sir. So number three is episode 7 from season 2, which is The Bandits of Golok. Not sure if I nailed that pronunciation. But this was all obviously this was the project done by the studio 88 Pictures coming out of India, directed by Ishan Shukla. And I don't know, do you guys have this any higher?
This was in my outside looking in.
All right.
It's definitely Clone Wars animation.
It was Clone Wars animation, but almost more vibrant. I don't know. It looked like a little bit sharper. It was like, it was like a stepped up level of Clone Wars, which is crazy because Clone Wars season 7, the end of that was beautiful. So I saw this and immediately was like, I would like a full season with this animation, please.
It almost seemed like it was like Clone Wars crossed with Pixar, like Coco or one of those, you know, like the vibrant colors of one of those movies.
Yeah, it popped. It really popped. And, you know, yet again, we get another story with the young child and their older family member or mentor. And there were parts where I was kind of getting, you know, kids are a little frustrating sometimes. You know, why are you using the flute or the Force to pull the flute all the way across a loaded train? What are you doing? But it was just, I love the whole Indian culture to it. It's really the first time we've gotten a Star Wars project with that vibe and that cultural background to it. The music and the score and everything, in every way, they had a nice touch to it. And I thought the ending part with the Jedi, when she ignited both of those blue blades, it was just such a clean image. Again, the animation is so crisp and clean, but I like the Inquisitor. He was unique. He was a unique villain, Inquisitor. He was not copy and paste like the rest of them that have been. But it was just beautiful to look at more than anything. If the story was a little bit more in detail, it would have been higher. But yeah, I'll always go back and watch that one.
It was amazing choreography too. It almost seemed like the Maul Ahsoka fight from Clone Wars season 7, mm-hmm. where it was motion cap. It wasn't just animated.
Yeah.
And I mean, when it comes to Inquisitors, let's be real. They're kind of all bark, no bite. They're kind of the middlemen. They, you know, they come out, they talk a bunch of crap, and then they get killed. Like, it's just what they do, you know? And I mean, this lady's probably 100, you know? Mm. Like, don't judge a book by its cover. We know from Yoda and Attack of the Clones. But,
yeah.
I mean, this guy's like an Inquisitor in his prime getting taken out by an old woman. Like, Inquisitors... nothing.
Yeah, they kind of suck. this one I did make my list, but very interesting. I like I like her cane that turns into two lightsabers. Yes. Like, that was really cool. I found I found the ending a little weird, where like it almost seemed like there could have been a twist where she was lying based on how creepy she was acting, where she's like, no, you can't go down there. but there's other people down there. Just try, like, he doesn't see that there's, he's just like letting her go with this woman into like a basement. And it's a little creepy.
Into a basement. Yeah. It's not a great look.
Yeah. She's like, no, you cannot come. It's like, but I just supposed to take your word that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. People are pretty open to that in the Star Wars universe. A lot of just handing your kids off to evil beings or mysterious beings. And, you know, it's a quick goodbye.
Spoiler alert. I have a TikTok coming out tomorrow that talks about that, how this might be a little toxic that they like take kids from their homes.
Yeah. Problematic. Maybe. Yeah.
Like, couldn't wait till they're like, I don't know, 16, like, can like get driver's license age, you know?
Yeah, you can't do like house call training until they're of age and then take them out.
Yeah, Obi-Wan barely remembers who his family is. Like,
right.
Pretty messed up.
Okay, so I will move on to my number three, which is The Duel.
Okay.
I know, where do we fall on that? I think Caleb, you had it on yours, right?
I had David? Number five.
Okay, David, is it higher for you?
It's higher, but you know, I'm good to roll with it.
Okay, we can talk about it. Well, I'll let you lead since it's higher.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. So this one quick interesting fact, actually, I learned today. The voice of the Jedi Master in this, in the English version, obviously, is none other than the one and only David Harbour from Stranger Things, who's now more recently a Red Guardian in the MCU. He'll be in Thunderbolts. But I had no idea. But as soon as I read the name, I heard the voice in my head and was like, oh, yeah, I think that is him. That's so that was interesting. A pretty big name to be cast in this. But yeah, I love this. It's a classic kind of old school anime art style. And it's the classic, you know, young apprentice who just wants to get into the fight more than anything, and the patient older master who's trying to preach patience a little bit, but he lets him go off. But man, the thing that stole the show is the Sith itself. I mean, from the very start, his entrance, he's such a creepy energy he's got going. You know, he's talking on the communicator, the Jedi apprentice, and he turns around and there's just a crouched hooded man standing right in front of him. Came out of nowhere. Where the hell did he come from? And the first thing we see him do is smile those yellow teeth and say, Jedi, you know, like he's ready to go. You just made his day. And he's just very creepy. I love the little dual blade kind of Japanese style lightsabers that he pulls out there. And it contained a hot topic that we've talked about a lot, actually, in the Star Wars universe. And that was the finishing blow by the Jedi Master. So I've brought it up to Caleb and our other host, JD. We talked about it a lot. And it's like, why don't we ever see you guys, you know, when the lightsabers clash in a parry, turn it off and then ignite it, pointed at their chest, you know, just go right past that thing, you know. And then upon further study in Legends, at least, the Jedi don't do it because it's, you know, it's pretty low. They don't stoop that low. And the Sith don't even do it because it's so cowardly, such a cowardly act that the Sith don't do it either. So nobody does it because everybody across the galaxy agrees you're a scumbag if you use that move. But he kind of used it in this one, but I liked it. I liked it. I liked the style. He turns it off and he gets it right into his chest and then he reignites the saber to take out the Sith. And I just loved it start to finish. And even the Jedi's consciousness of, you know, if he was in his prime, that wouldn't have gone that way. We're lucky we came across this old man. So I loved that one.
I'm sorry. Did you say the duel, Michael, or?
Yes.
No. You should have stopped me. I just went through the elder.
Because I thought I was mistaken because of how...
I was a little confused because I didn't remember the move, but I was like, you might be right. I mean, they're kind of similar. The way you talked about it, I was like, this is the same episode.
That's on me.
I was like, I clearly don't remember it super well, but...
And that's my take on the elder.
Shit. Oh, awesome. I had that on my list as well.
And also, I'm not going to edit it out, so now you get to be embarrassed. This is how we roll.
That's fine. You know what? Sometimes you just got to learn the hard way.
So wait, so the elder was higher for you?
Yeah, both the duel and the elder.
Okay. Well,
you guys go first before I go off for another 5 minutes about possibly the wrong episode.
All good. Also, I was like, because you mentioned there was like an actor, and I was like, ooh, I was really excited for you to talk about it because I found out one today that is in The Duel, which is Lucy Liu plays the woman Sif, and I was like, oh, David Harbour's in it too. But no. So yeah, Lucy Liu's in this. She plays the Umbrella Sith, and I just thought this was like you know, one of the more stylish episodes, and yeah, it was you know, very simple. There's like a lot of fun, like you know, villains in this. You get like a Trandoshan, you get like one of Sebulba's creatures. He's like riding around in a little pod. So I don't know. Yeah, I thought this was like big like Kurosawa vibes, and like sets the tone for what season one was gonna be for sure, with a lot of the, like samurai influences. So I adore the duel.
Yeah, it, like you said, it 100%, I feel like it had to have been done looking at Kurosawa's work, because it was very, very identical to a lot of the stuff. And even the black and white art and everything was very similar to the whole monochromatic thing with Kurosawa's work. And it was feudal Japan meets Star Wars, which obviously, again, George Lucas got a lot of his inspiration from feudal Japan stories, Kurosawa, all that good stuff. So, yeah, it felt like almost like the origin of Star Wars in a weird way kind of deal, you know? So it was cool. I love the whole Jedi, but he's really a Sith story. Still curious about that, you know, and it's a good story if you're still left want to learn more. But why does he have a red saber? He shows all those crystals. Is he a Sith who's making up for his past mistakes, or is he just somebody who hunts down Sith? You know, I'm very curious. It's a cool story though, and Lucy Liu, that's a bonus right there.
That's it, baby. Caleb, what about you? Did you have the duel higher, or
no? It was number five for me. I definitely like the part where they're standing across from the waterfall. And he, you know, she thinks he ignites the lightsaber, but it's a statue. But just like that look of them standing across from each other.
Yep. So, well, we can move on to number twos now. Caleb, do you want to start us off?
Well, my number two is the Elder.
Okay. Are you sure?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely like the part at the end where, you know, if he says he fought him in his prime, things would have ended up differently. Like, we got lucky. Like, you shouldn't be. Definitely got like kind of Anakin and Obi-Wan vibes from them. Like their banter back and forth, to where, you know, the apprentice wants to, you know, see some action and can prove his powers. And no, maybe more like Anakin and Qui-Gon, if Qui-Gon had survived Phantom Menace.
If he didn't die.
He would have been that kind of, you know, because that David Harbour's character was so wise as a Jedi. Like, he knew, you know, like his Padawan says, you know, like, I hope I get to pull out my lightsaber. And he's like, you know, that would be the last thing you want to do. Like, that's, you know, like, we want peace, not action.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I didn't make my list. And David, my vibes to this is kind of similar to how you felt about the Ninth Jedi, where like, you know, I had limited time to rewatch some of the, I tried to watch as many as I could, but I like stuck with the ones I knew I loved. And you know, the Elder didn't really stick out to me at the time. It sounds like I need to give it a rewatch though.
Okay. So. Yeah, well, my thoughts on that are, no,
I wonder.
Won't kill you guys again with that, but I approve of it.
Yeah. Okay, well, David, we could go to your number two.
My number two is actually the Elder.
Okay.
There you go.
There it is.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good one.
So my number two is the Ninth Jedi, which we've talked about, which will bring it to Caleb for your number one.
Wow, my number one is Journey to the Dark Head.
Whoa.
Right? So this is, so I'm not big or huge into anime as Dave is, but I have seen Avatar, The Last Airbender, and the first couple seasons of Korra. Still have to finish it. But this is the Legend of Korra animators. So I really, first of all, love that. And they also did Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf. Is that one of the Netflix spinoff animations? I haven't seen it yet, but I'm guessing that's what it is.
He also did Batman: A Death in the Family.
Okay.
And I think one other one too, that I forgot to mention, but yeah, he had a lot.
But it just, this was definitely the episode from season two that I wanted more from. Like, give me three seasons of this, you know, full Avatar, Clone Wars style. But it starts off with, you know, the flashback after, you know, after she basically, you know, demands to go on this mission to cut the statue off because she thinks, you know, she can end the war so easily. But the flashback, you know, he massacres everyone, kills his master, and says, you know, your rage befits a Sith more than a Jedi. Like, come find me. The Jedi will fall. And then, you know, and the kid is haunted from this. And I can see what the Sith is doing. You know, he's playing that kind of long game. Like, you know, hey, I can see you have this kind of evil in you. And you see it later when they face off. His eyes, like, flash orange for a second. You know, he says, like, have you been waiting for this moment? Mm. Like, that, you know, they know I've been searching for you, but they sent you here alone. And this, like, classic Jedi Council sending these young children on dangerous missions.
Yeah, and didn't he, so that he had encountered him as a young Jedi, right? And he was having those kind of nightmare visions.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. It's the right episode, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he's having those flashbacks in his meditations, and his Jedi master's like, hey, you need to calm yourself, you know, yada, yada. And then they send him off on a death mission. But this was another episode that had that duality aspect to it, obviously. You've got the statue of the prophets, I believe was the name. So they're up on this massive statue up there fighting, which I love the fight location itself. I love a fight on a big old high rise on a narrow area. You know, you gotta love that.
Clouds.
But yeah, up in the clouds, everything very dramatic. But again, it goes to the duality. They think they're about to cut off the dark head, and then the light side of the force starts swimming in there, and then you got both sides on both statues, and they realize, oh, it's not that simple. Again, the force isn't that simple. You can't just cut off one end, kill it, and be good. Like, it needs both to survive. So again, it was just another one where I really liked the message and the art style as well. And I thought the whole Sith thing where he comes back, he's like, oh, funny meeting you here kind of deal. I don't know. I like the story that was behind that. The other thing that guy did, by the way, was Harley Quinn. He did the animation for a season or two of Harley Quinn on HBO right now.
Dang, this studio's the GOAT. I mean,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Might be the most established of the season two studios. I got to say, you know, it didn't end up on my list at all, but like, you guys are selling me. I kind of am regretting my choice. another one that I owe a rewatch to. This.
Right.
I don't know why it just didn't totally click with me, but you know, you guys pointing out the themes here, I can't blame you at all.
Right.
I'm on board.
Yeah, it seemed like they really knew Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, David, what is your number one?
So since I had the wrong episode, I didn't say anything. But yeah, my number one was actually The Duel.
Okay.
So yeah, pretty much talked about it. One aspect I didn't throw in there real quick, which I really loved, was the teapot aspect. He sets the tea kettle and he goes, make sure this droid is done by the time this thing goes off. And the entire fight is escalating as the tea kettle is getting louder and louder and louder. And I just loved that thing. It really raised the tension so much up till finally hitting that climax. And I loved that aspect they threw in there.
What do you think of the umbrella lightsaber? It's like the most absurd thing.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, if that wasn't in it, it'd be a higher rating for sure for me. I kind of had to push through it a little bit because at first I didn't like it. I was like, this is Looney Tunes. Why is she twirling 24 lightsabers above her head like a ceiling fan? But it, you know, again, it grew on me, and then they actually started really getting closer to a normal-ish lightsaber fight. I mean, I like the creativity. I don't always need the same one blade against one blade lightsaber. That's the whole point of Visions, is to get creative aspects of Star Wars brought out there. So I like the creativity. I'll give it like a C+ for working with me.
There you go. Fair.
And the holster, though, like, he doesn't turn his saber off. He like sticks it in like a samurai. Love that.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think I have a bombshell here because my number one has not been mentioned at all yet. Ooh. And it is In the Stars.
Yeah.
This is from season two. I don't know why this one just worked for me. I really felt, again, maybe it's like the parent aspect. I don't know what it is, guys. Like, you know, I found it very touching that they were kind of avenging their mother and like how they, you know, this like, the parallels of them like taking down the base and then getting to finally see the stars again and respect the past. And yeah, I don't know, this again, kind of like I've mentioned before, it has a lot of like interesting, almost political themes when it comes to like pollution and yes, colonization. And yeah, I don't know. I felt like it just meant a lot in a lot of different ways. So yeah, this is my number one.
And wasn't it based off of actually, like you said, the pollution and everything, events in Chile that they've been dealing with, things that have been happening over there? Because I think that's the country behind this studio. Yeah. So, yeah, it was reflecting apparently a few different, you know, real world devastated events that they had to go through, which obviously brings a whole lot of more weight to this. That's funny, actually. So this is the one I'm surprised, Caleb, this wasn't on your list, was it?
This is probably number six for me. This would be okay. Six.
I was going to say, because this is the one I was talking about earlier. He reached out and he was like, oh, no, episode three was great. Like, I loved it.
I love it.
Nice. And so I jumped into it and I texted him after. I was like, I'm not going to lie, I think that's my least favorite this season so far. But I didn't dislike any of these episodes. I just want to make that clear. It just didn't grab me as much, and I didn't really see what Caleb was seeing in it. But the artwork is beautiful. Well, and what you're seeing in it as well. The kid just kept pissing me off. But again, it's a common theme through all these episodes. But my goodness, she kept pissing me off. Like, just stop jumping out of things. Just stay with your sister. But I could get that. There's a lot of heart in this one as well. But yeah, it just didn't grab me for some reason.
This is by far my favorite animation style of the season. It's like half claymation, half CGI, you know? And you know, they knew their mom had a power, but they didn't know it was the Force. They just know she was like powerful enough to keep the Empire back. And the whole time, you know, the younger sister keeps thinking she's Force, you know, she thinks she's Force sensitive like her mother. And she's trying to, like, you know, stop the TIE fighter as it's coming. And I thought it was super funny, like, just like a classic younger sibling, you know, and that's what they would do. And then the reveal at the end that, you know, she's about to fall and her older sister just stops her with the Oh, I love that scene. That was amazing.
Yeah, I talked about it in our recap, but I watched that one with my daughter, and like, it was an emotional roller coaster for her, especially the scene where she's falling, because she's like, she's three, she doesn't really get Star Wars, but like, so she didn't realize what the Force was going on, like, but it just was blowing her mind, and like, watching her react to it was like, I was like,
that's I'm all great. About it.
That's so cool.
I will say, the kid, maybe a little annoying. I think the kid in Bandits of Golak was a little more annoying to me. But with that being said, maybe the next podcast is like ranking annoying kids in Visions.
Plucky children.
Yeah.
Dude, don't call us plucky. We don't know what it means.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys, that is the top fives. This was so much fun to go through with you guys. I appreciate you doing it with us. Any final thoughts? Anything we didn't mention at all? Maybe you want to touch on?
You know, I just love Visions. You know, it's so unique. It's so different. It's not the standard deal. And I like the aspect of where we don't know the backstories. Well, I guess you can look up when it took place, BBY. I saw those when I was looking up directors. I didn't realize that. But I like not knowing that. I like it being just, you know, it's almost a thing in your own head. Half of it's relying on your imagination or what the deal is. You know, we're not in the Skywalker era. We don't know where we are. We're in totally different places of the galaxy in Star Wars. And I love that they have to bring that together and paint these unique and creative storylines. And you actually said it in your roundtable when it comes to the duels. You know, we always see epic, long, drawn-out duels and stuff, but, you know, that's not how it would happen every time people are having duels. There's going to be short ones, and there's going to be such expertise that they can cut them down in a matter of seconds, and that doesn't mean it was a bad duel. It's just a different style, and so there were a lot of those in here, which I appreciated. We don't always need that epic thing. Sometimes you just need the Obi-Wan versus Darth Maul, you know, in the deserts of Tatooine kind of fight, and So yeah, I'm really looking forward to another season of this.
Do we have any wish, like a wish list for season three? I'll say this. I talked to our buddy Greg, who's been on the podcast a few times. He mentioned that he wanted to see a stop motion Wes Anderson episode, which like I can't get that out of my head now. I really need that, especially because there's like a lot of tick. I don't know if there's like you know, like AI art TikToks that's like Star Wars and Wes Anderson, and like I don't know, like it works for me. It needs to happen.
Yeah, what was that? The Galactic Menagerie or something?
That's
deal
it.
Going on. Yeah, on social media. That's funny. I don't have any art styles per se. Well, maybe Clone Wars, the old school, the original Clone Wars art form. That would be fun to kind of get a little throwback to
2D.
That. Yeah, the Tartakovsky. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I can't remember how to pronounce that. Yeah, so maybe a little bit something like that. But story wise, I think it would be cool to throw in. Again, I just talked about brand new, fresh stories about how much I like it. Now I'm about to request something else. But it would be cool to get like brief, like maybe an episode or two, brief legends storylines, like a little cut out of a doesn't have to be Revan anything or the man. What's the zombie attack on the Imperial Star Destroyer? I can't remember what the name of that story is, but there's like a horror legend Star Wars deal out there. But just something like that, something a little nod to legends in an episode or so. I think it'd be cool.
Right. Yeah, this is why I'm against canon. Like, let's not, everything doesn't have to be this one. I mean, obviously we need canon for the main story, but you know, let more people be creative with their own stories. Cause you know, a lot of people coming out these days saying, I want to make this story, but it has to fit in between this and this and this. So I'm very restricted on what I can do, you know, and these are just like comic books and novels. So like, imagine if they would just let these people do what they want, we would get so much better stories.
Yeah, these universes should take a page out of DC because they're doing Elseworlds now. So it gives those creatives that room and that creative space to come up with their own stories without being tied down to canon. But you still have a canon storyline that everybody's following. And people who want to jump in that don't want to watch the 20 movies, they can just go straight to these Elseworld movies and still enjoy DC, Star Wars, Marvel. But yeah, that would be great for, I think, all these major properties to do.
My only concern of that is they're going to end up with like three Darth Vader movies, like they do with the Joker. It's like
true.
Willem Dafoe is Darth Vader. Yeah. So
he can pull it off.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea. I think one thing I would like to see, there's a, you know, I love the Jedi. I would love to see a bounty hunter episode of Visions. I feel like that's kind of untouched potential there.
So, yeah.
We can do something. Yeah.
I feel that. Like the, you know, this is their one and only chance to make a Star Wars short. So they're going to go the Force or the Sith Jedi. So they're going for that good stuff. But let's get, you know, maybe on the second go around, the people they like the most, they can expand and do something new.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, last question here before we start to close out. If there was one, so not a sequel to one of these episodes, but if there was one studio or episode style that you like so much that you would like to see them create their own series, which one would you pick? That's a very tough question.
Yeah, because like, you know, the In the Stars episode, I do really love that animation style, but could I watch an entire season of that? That's a whole nother story. So I think I would like the Journey to the Dark Head, or what was that episode 7, Dave, it was on your list? The
Bandits of Golok.
Yep, the Clone Wars style, you know, because that's more like I'm a creature of habit. So that's more familiar to me, easier on the eyes for a, you know, longer period of time.
Yeah, I was going to say, because obviously that was the first thing I said about Bandits, was I'm ready to watch a full season of this animation. So that's my answer. It's kind of boring, especially because we already have Clone Wars, which is very close to that. So you should probably branch out a little bit to get a different type. So I'm going to go with Sith. I'm going to go with Sith, just so I'm not picking Bandits of Golok.
I'm not.
I think for me, I would probably, you know, Journey to the Darkhead, it didn't make my list, but I think that, you know, animation style, that studio could make something really cool. Mm-hmm. And another one, I would say The Spy Dancer. I think, you know, more yes. French espionage type, almost in more in the vein of Andor. I think yeah. that they could do something really cool too. So, well, guys, this was so much fun chatting with you. I want to close this out with some recommendations, something that you've been reading or watching or eating or something. Let's see. I probably shouldn't start because I can't think. I set this up and now I don't have one. How about this? I know I've talked about it a lot. We're going to do some coverage on it eventually. If you're not playing Jedi Survivor and you're a Star Wars fan, what mm-hmm. are you doing? It is mm-hmm. so much fun. I've beaten the game now and like I just continue to play. Like, I'm just hunting down chests. So. Okay. It is a great game. It's so much fun. Get on that.
Yeah, I just got to the second world and I'm done with the second world and, you know, got to meet that, you know, the pretty big character you meet from the High Republic. I'll leave it at that. So
there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a PS5. I got to buy it on my computer, but I just got done moving and I just got, you know, a TV and computer area really kind of set up. So I'm probably going to buy it this weekend on the laptop, play some PC, but yeah.
All right. Recommendations from you guys.
Yeah. I'm going to throw one out now. You said it doesn't matter what type of media.
Can recommend going on a walk.
Walks are pretty cool. I'm going to throw out something different. Now, Caleb's heard enough about this, so is JD, but I was going to throw out a different Netflix show, but we're going to leave that. I'm not sold on it yet. But I'm going to throw out a podcast, kind of. It's an audio medium, so you can get it wherever you listen to podcasts. It sounds like an advertisement. I swear I'm not sponsored by this, but Spotify and all that stuff. But it's called Marvel's Wastelanders. And so it's audio stories with casts for each character. They have voice actors for every single character. I mean, Susan Sarandon, they got some big names in it. I can't think of all of them off the top of my head right now. But it follows a Marvel timeline in which there's something called V-Day. And the villains all got a plan together that ended up working out. And they took the heroes out. And over the last 40 years or whatever, everybody has come to accept that the heroes were always the villains. And the villains were actually the ones who were trying to save them. And so, you know, Dr. Doom's got a portion of the country. Zemo's got a portion of the country. I mean, all these villains have these different little setups across the country. And there's four or five different seasons that falls around different characters. So Peter and Rocket are one of them. Wolverine, Old Man Logan is one of them. Old Man Hawkeye is one of them. It's really fun. If you like Marvel, they're brand new stories to my knowledge. And if you listen to podcasts a lot, you got audio, you work where you can listen to stuff. It's a great thing to throw in. So I loved it. I finished all four or five seasons of it. Yeah, that was a pretty cool, unique thing.
Yeah, what was the first one that came out? I think it was the Wolverine one.
It might have been Rocket and Quill.
Okay.
But maybe it was Wolverine. I can't remember.
I listened to it. My problem is the same reason I can't do audiobooks. I like zone out too much. And like with the podcast, I can kind of zone in and out and like it doesn't really matter. But with that, I'm like, oh, I just missed like a huge part of the story. Yeah. So I have a tough time. Like it doesn't work for my brain, but yeah, those are so cool. And I wish my brain would allow me to like those more.
Okay. I got it. So do you you don't listen to audiobooks then at all?
If I read a book, well, I would never read a book. I would listen to an audiobook, but even then, I struggle with it sometimes.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah. Hey, never read, gang. Let's go.
Let's go. I do like comics, though. The pictures, okay. They help.
There you go.
Caleb, do you have a recommendation?
So I'm going to go outside of the nerdverse, but it is with Elizabeth Olsen, the new show on HBO Max, Love and Death.
You know what, Caleb? I was like, I know there's something I watched recently I want to talk about, but I can't remember what it was. That's it. I love Love and Death. Please tell us about it.
So I only have seen the first like two episodes, I think, but it's a great start. It's based on a true story, and it's, you know, an affair leads to a murder, and there's this whole investigation going on afterwards. But Elizabeth Olsen and Jesse Plemons, yes, yeah. Game Night.
Fat Damon.
Yep. Like, so it's a good cast. I mean, I love her as Wanda Maximoff. She's probably one of my favorite characters in Marvel right now. So anything she's in, I'm going to watch. And the first episode, it's good. It's enough to keep you going for sure, you know.
She is blowing my mind of how good she is. Like, yes. She is such an incredible, like, and I knew she was good, but like this, I'm just like, oh, it's just so, it's such a deep character, and there's so much going on, and the way she portrays it is just, yeah, this is definitely not one to miss.
So she nails that Southern accent, huh? Yeah, I've only seen the previews, so I haven't watched it yet.
Well, she practiced in WandaVision. So she's, you know, she's ready when she was doing that fake household with her old fake family on the
kind of Southern, I guess. Yeah.
yeah. It's also, there was another, it's based on a true story. And there was another adaptation a couple years ago that I didn't know about till this one came out. It was on Hulu. I think Jessica Biel plays Candy Montgomery, who's the lead. Okay. But I saw some TikToks that were like comparing the two, and they were like, this show is ripping this off or whatever. First of all, it's based on a true story. Like that wasn't their story to begin with. And number two, like Elizabeth Olsen's doing better. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, you can't really rip off a true story that you're following. Yeah. That's not how that works.
Yeah. So like, wow, they're the lines are exactly the same. I'm like, cause it's real life. What do you want?
The court documents.
Yeah.
What they have that was said.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I want to give you guys a chance, to tell people about your podcast. I've been listening recently, really love it. Love the vibe you guys got going on. So, I would love for other people to check it out as well. So if you want to, you know, tell people where they can find it.
Yeah, man, appreciate that. So, Why So Sidious, a nerd podcast. It's kind of self-explanatory, but we cover nerd properties, movies, TV, video games, comics, novels. Right now, we got a series going, kind of prepping for Secret Wars called Road to Secret Wars. So we're covering all the Jonathan Hickman Infinity issues, everything that leads up to that, New Avengers and Avengers. That all kind of ties into one big story. Prep you for Secret Wars. But yeah, we're covering the TV shows and the movies, episode by episode, all that good stuff. And you can find us at Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, all the main places. And we got a new YouTube page up. It's pretty bare at this moment. We haven't really done much other than add in some show clips here and there. So we plan to kind of expand with that too. But yeah, and hopefully pretty soon here, we also haven't had a guest on yet. We also have never guessed it. This is our first time. So thank you very much, by the way, Michael. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But we haven't had a guest yet. So we're still working on that. And we got a guest list of people we got plan that we want to bring on. So Michael, obviously you are very much welcome. As soon as we, you know, pull our heads out of our ass and figure out exactly how we're going to do it and with what episode, oh yeah, you're probably our first one, you know. Yeah. So yeah, we can't wait to have you on the show and get you back on there too. But yeah,
for sure, super excited for it.
And check out our Star Wars May the 4th episode. And if you are a fan of top five, we do rank all the Disney series finales and the OG trilogy and the prequels. So, you know, that we did and talk about comic books and video games. It was a very fun episode to record, just laid back talking Star Wars.
Love it. All right, guys. Thank you again for doing this. I'm going to close us out here. I'd like to remind you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Put an honest review. And if you leave a review, I'll read it on the show. I don't care. So let us know what you think. And yeah, be honest, I guess. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week, sometimes multiple times a week. We got Marvel and Star Wars is kind of on a pause, but we still have cool stuff planned. There's a lot of movies coming out that we'll be talking about, including The Flash, Across the Spider-Verse. So if you subscribe, you'll get all those episodes. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. And also, we have a little Discord community going on. So if that's something you're interested in, you can hit us up and we will get you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye.